From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's ass on Hunch of Andy
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It is Wake Up War Chant. It is presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida. Coming up on today's show, Austin Cox, staff writer of WarChant.com, talking about his picks 21 through 30 of the WarChant.com preseason top 40. A little bit of a programming note in the social real life. The Chipping for the Children Charity Golf Challenge, which is going to be presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill over at the Southwood Golf Course, has been postponed. So it will not be going down tonight, Friday, June 24th. They're going to probably try to get things going on at a later date. We will keep you posted. In the meantime, you should check out Corner Pocket Bar and Grill if you want to have a good time and eat some good food and hang out with some cool people. It's Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. CPTallyBar.com is the website. Thursday night saw the NBA draft rather go through all two rounds. Florida State, for the first time since 2018, according to our own Corey Clark, first time that Florida State did not have somebody drafted in the NBA draft. Shout out to our own Corey Clark. He is actually en route to Chicago for a few days off with himself, the first lady of Wake Up War Chant, Stephanie, and his son, Brady Clark. So we will not have Corey on the show today. He'll be back, though, for a show on Monday, but he dropped it on us here talking about the fact that this has been the first time since 2018 that Florida State did not have anybody drafted in the NBA draft. But, hey, these things happen. It's okay. Ham's got it figured out. I think this weekend we might have some good news on that front in terms of replenishing the roster, so be on the lookout for that. Otherwise, WarChant.com has got you covered. We're going to have plenty of interviews for you up on the website. Friday, starting at noon, we are going to have seven interviews with newcomers. That's Julian Armella, Jason Turntine, Antavius Woody, Jarrell Powers, pretty much everybody, Quayshon Sapp, everybody that we have not spoke to yet that's part of Tribe 2022, we'll get to speak to noon on Friday. So be on the lookout for all that over at WarChant.com. But before that, we've got a pretty good feeling that Florida State might have their new baseball coach in hand sometime on Friday morning. So if you're listening to this at maybe 10 a.m., 10.06 a.m., 10.35 a.m., probably Florida State has a new baseball coach. We will have you covered every step of the way on that over on the website WarChant.com, as well as here on WarChant TV on YouTube. So hit the thumbs up. I think Jeff and Tom will be knocking that out if there's any sort of live reaction to be had on Friday. If you're listening to us on iTunes, Apple, why don't you give us a 5-star rating interview? We certainly would appreciate it. But again, Corey, not a part of today's show, but he's always here in spirit. He dropped us some information, said that, hey, Aslan, let them know that there hasn't been anybody drafted in the NBA draft for Florida State. It's the first time since 2018. That's fine. We already spoke about that a few times. Your boy, Aslan, right here, a little bit under the weather. Well, not under the weather, but I went out with my boy, Mercedes Mike. He was in town. We went out, had a couple drinks, maybe more than a couple drinks. Maybe it's 2 a.m., and I'm trying to put this all together for you folks because I love you on a Friday. But pretty much today's show is what I've said for the last 3.5 minutes, and our own Austin Cox, staff writer. He's been part of the panel. That's Gene Williams, Ira Schofel, myself, Corey Clark, Jeff Cameron, Tom Lang, and then Austin rounds it out. I think that's 7 people I said. We've all been putting in our preseason top 40. Gene tabulated it all and then came up with a master list. But we're going to talk to Austin about his picks, why he put the guys where he did. Austin does a great job on the website of recruiting, but also was out there every single spring practice, watching, observing, notating, making notes, everything. So he's got a good idea of what he thinks will be the most 40 impactful players of the 2022 season for Florida State. So we'll let him take away right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level,
the who, what, when, where, and why you are rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So I jumped the gun earlier this week, everybody, and put out the 21 through 30 on the podcast from the War Chant original preseason top 40, but turns out we didn't actually put it live until Thursday, so whoops. But if you listen to this podcast, you know you're ahead of the game. There's perks, just other than Corey's great banter. So there's a bunch of people on this panel. It's Corey, myself, Tom Lang, Jeff Cameron, Irish O'Fell, Gene Williams. But we haven't heard from Austin Cox, the youngest member, but maybe the coolest member of the WarChant.com family. Follow him on Twitter, AustinRCox12. Austin, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm doing great, Aslan. Really happy to be on and, you know, get to this time of year with Top 40, preseason magazines coming out. You know, it's definitely an exciting time of year. Time for some football, baby.
Yeah, man, it's close. 64 days. I need to figure it out. I just keep throwing out a random 60 number right now. I just know that we're 2 months or so away from the opener, so we're super excited. Again, 21 through 30 available over on warchant.com and the YouTube page. If you're here on the podcast, go watch the video. It's so much better. There's footage and there's Gene's face and Ira's face. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. But before we get to that latest installment here, Austin did want to talk about guys maybe towards the bottom of it. You had Thomas Schrader, a guy that I think we're hoping might be able to kind of blossom and develop. He made your top 40. You want to talk us through maybe what made you put Thomas on your list?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I actually had him all the way up to number 31. I think if you look at him, you know, probably something that could help him out a lot is right now he's more of a guard, but if there's a chance he could play guard or tackle, that could kind of make him maybe a little bit more viable. I think that's something that might be a negative with him compared to, you know, he's kind of going up against some of the transfers they brought in, like Demetri Emmanuel and Turnitin recently. So, you know, and those guys might project to be a little bit more versatile, especially Emmanuel. So we'll see how they use him, see if they keep him just at guard in the fall camp and everything. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we know they really like. You know, I think that if he, you know, he kind of, you know, be a good second team guy this year. And, you know, that's something that, you know, every team needs. You know, that's once you get to these 30, you know, on the fringe of the top 40, you know, you're going to need 6th, 7th, 8th linemen. So, you know, even with the transfers that I brought in, you know, I still had him kind of high up at 31. You know, that's kind of just what I thought. You know, other than Bless Harris, you know, who came in the spring, I don't think it's a guarantee that some of these transfers are going to be, you know, penciled in right ahead of guys that have been here, you know, 2-3 years working within the program. You know, I think that's something we'll kind of have to see shake out in fall camp, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think Thomas seems to be a big product of what we hear they like him. I don't know how much we've really saw from him in the spring, but again, he does seem to have the confidence of the coaching staff. We'll see if maybe he can break through in the preseason practices and how things shake out for him. Another guy that made it on your list but missed out on the top 40 overall. And listen, man, you're in good company. Gene had him on his list too, but Ira, Jeff, myself, Corey, and Tom did not have a Keyshawn Helton, which is, I don't know, man. Like, I went and looked at his PFF numbers. He actually graded out fairly well. I think maybe we're haunted by the drop against Jacksonville State, but let's not go too far down a dark alley on a nice Friday. What'd you like about Keyshawn that makes you think that he still can be a guy that they can count on and he'll make an impact?
Yeah, no, you're right, man. I had Keyshawn held at number 33, and you know, I think if you look at him, I think, you know, he certainly had a couple plays where, you know, he'd like to have those back, and those were, you know, plays that kind of stand out in a lot of fans' minds as, you know, gaffes or errors from last year. But, you know, he's a guy that he's been, you know, on the team really, you know, either producing or, you know, either second or first team going back to, like, 2019 fall camp when he was busting out as, like, a redshirt freshman. So, I mean, you know, I think it's sometimes we don't want to dog all these transfers that came in. You know, I think, you know, a lot of these guys are going to help the team this year. But, you know, we look at bringing in the four wide receiver transfers. Some people might see that as kind of just, you know, an obvious statement like, well, they don't like the guys they have. But I think it's more they want to provide competition and see, have the best man win. So, again, with the transfers, I wouldn't really have some of these guys. Like, I had Keyshawn Helton 33, and I personally had Johnny Wilson right behind him at number 34. Mm. You know, I think Keyshawn's still going to play a lot this year. You know, I think he's a guy that it's not just experience that he brings. It's, you know, he can be very elusive when he gets the ball in the open field. And we've seen him make tough contested catches downfield. It comes back to mind a game, the win over North Carolina in 2020 when they had the great upset win, and I think he made a really contested catch downfield for about 30 or 40 yards. You know, he's made a lot of plays in his career. So, you know, he's a guy that I had at number 33, and along with – I also had Pokey in there, not to reveal too much, but, I mean, I had Pokey up there ahead of him even. You know, I think Keyshawn and Ontario Pokey Wilson, those are two guys that, you know, have been around the team for 3 or 4 years now that, you know, are going to factor in this year a decent amount, I would say.
All right, well, that said, let's jump into 21 through 30, and we're going to kind of point out the guys that maybe you kind of differ a little bit more from the rest of the guys on the panel, and we'll go from Keyshawn, I guess, to Ja'Kai Douglas, maybe conventional wisdom with guys like, you know, Corey and Tom, putting them quite high on their list. I think Tom was the highest slot member there for a Ja'Kai fan club, had him at 22. Yeah. Just kind of feels that maybe Ja'Kai is going to kind of take away some of the shine from Keyshawn Helton. You had him at 39. You had him the lowest on there. Is that maybe part of the reason why you just kind of see a little bit more value with Keyshawn versus Ja'Kai?
Yeah, and I did. And you know, having him kind of 39, I did have him lowest. I wouldn't say that's necessarily kind of a negative with him, with his talent. And, you know, I like him as a player. You know, I think during the spring camp, he really had a couple good practices where he was really good. You know, he makes a lot of plays. I think he's developing as a receiver, you know, kind of on track with what they'd like, moving over from running back. And I think with Ja'Kai, it's kind of more – he's kind of shown himself to be more of a deep threat than some of the other guys like Pokey or Keyshawn. So I think when you look at targets and catches and things of that nature, he might be a little bit on the lower end compared to some other of the receivers that they have. But again, you know, I think that's something where if you look at these guys like Ja'Kai and maybe Malik, we can talk about a little bit here later, and Pokey and the transfers and Keyshawn, you know, really all these guys, you know, some kind of, you know, somewhere in between the second and fifth range, I would kind of have that as being a fluid situation right now that, you know, how things go out, play out in fall camp and the first month of the season, the first few weeks. I wouldn't be, you know, if you were telling me Ja'Kai Douglas was going to be second on the team in catches and yards this year, I wouldn't be shocked by that at all.
Oh, come on, you would. That'd be crazy if he was second on the team in receiving yards. Yeah, I get it. There's a lot to like, my man. You're not dogging these guys, putting them at 39 on a top 40 list of guys that are 85 guys on scholarship. So no need to.
I guess I'd be a little surprised. Yeah, I'd cut that back a little. I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked. You know.
Okay, I'd be shocked, but it's fine. Hey, we all differ. That's the beauty of this thing. Let's move a rung up on the ladder. 29 for everybody here. Again, this is the aggregate scores that Gene put together. Malcolm Ray comes in at 29. Corey had him at 40. I think both you and Tom have him at 24. So maybe not that big of a difference from what ended up being on the overall 40. But Malcolm Ray is a guy that I don't want to say we all of us disagree on it, but there's a very high ceiling. I think a lot of guys feel that he possibly has. I don't think I'm there. You having him at 24 might kind of shine some light on how you feel about him on an optimistic sort of bent there. So what do you think about Malcolm Ray, Austin?
Yeah, you know, you're definitely right, man. With Malcolm Ray, you know, he's a guy I really like. I think if you look at kind of some of the things he does with pass rushing from a DT spot, you know, I think he's, you know, he's kind of more of a playmaking type of DT. I think he's someone that he's really good at if you play him, you know, the amount of snaps he played last year with kind of the 20-25 or the 30 range. So I don't remember exactly what it was, but somewhere around there. You know, I thought they got a lot out of him with the amount of snaps he played. I thought he made a lot of plays for – I know he ended up starting some games, but probably the average for the season, that was probably about the amount he played. And I thought they got a lot out of him with that. And, you know, I think he's a guy that's going to be even better this year. And, you know, if you're once you get into kind of the mid-20s on list, you're really looking at who's going to be the most important second-team guy, the most important backups after the starters. And, you know, I think probably you could say he might be the most important second-team guy on the team. Looking at defensive tackle, you got to have three or four of those guys to be able to cycle in, even though we really like the top two that they have this year. And then if you the fact that that the top two is so strong, that you could say that is even more important to have a second team defensive tackle that you can trust, that you know is, you know, going to be solid. And that's definitely what he was last year. And I thought what Corey wrote, where the kind of the more he played, the better he played, I definitely agree with that. I thought that was spot on.
All right, let's go to offensive line. Maurice Smith checks in at 28. Man, I think he was 10 on the list last year, if I'm not mistaken. I have him at 12. I have him at the highest of anybody on the panel. Because, I don't know, I'm crazy, Austin. I was at spring practice, and I saw him play more snaps than the other guy he's going up against. So I figure that he has the inside edge. Corey's argument to that has been the fact that, yeah, that was March Aslan. It was April. But when it comes around to August and Duquesne time, Caden Lyles probably takes over, to which I would be like, well, then why didn't he start doing it in April? Like, this staff doesn't have the luxury of bringing guys along, man. They need to figure out who they want to have them play side by side for as much time as they possibly can to develop chemistry. So, now, that said, I'm very much similar to you. You have Maurice and Caden back-to-back on your list. I do as well. You have Maurice checking in here at 17, and you have him just a shade above Caden Lyles, who you have at 18. So, I guess, are you of the similar mind set that Maurice has a bit of an edge going into the season?
Yeah, that's crazy. We're perfectly in line with that, really, with the fact that, you know, we both had him the two highest on the list. And you know, I kind of put – I don't know if this is the way you were thinking too, but, I mean, I put Maurice at number 17 and Caden Lyles at number 18, kind of just to drive the point home that, you know, I don't really think that center spot is determined right now. I would say that's probably the most heated position battle to watch going into fall camp. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, not only with what you mentioned, how the fact that on the field, Caden didn't necessarily stand out way above Maurice or take that. He did, not that he was bad, but he didn't take the center spot. You know, he didn't take that by horns.
Yeah, one won that job. No one's won
exactly
that job. Yeah.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more, man. And then also you add the fact that the way Atkins speaks of him, you know, he talks about him really highly. I think he's a guy that, you know, they like us from the staff that when they brought in Caden, he wasn't the guy that was really threatened by that. I think the way he handled that was, you know, something that the staff and the team respected, the players around him respected. And, you know, it's just, you know, he's been playing going back to 2019 when Coach Willie Taggart was still here. So, I mean, you know, I don't think – that's just not a guy – Maurice Smith isn't a guy that I see riding the bench the whole year. But, you know, if you're going to tell me Caden Lyles is going to start, that's not a surprise either. I need to see more with center and who's going to start there, honestly. Yeah.
Good battle, though. I think, obviously, whoever ends up winning that, I think we'll be fine at center, though. I guess we can both probably – I think we all agree on that. No matter who wins that battle, we'll be fine at center. We'll be better off than we were last year because it'll either be a new guy or Maurice will be healthy and on the mend and ready to go. Let's keep it on offense. Let's talk about playmakers. A lot of receivers in this 21 to 30 quadrant that we've got up on warchant.com. Again, Malik McClain, I thought that maybe like I would have snuck him into my list. I'm like, I think a lot of guys are going to forget about Malik because of all the transfers that came in here. But no one slept on Malik. Malik checks in at 22. What do you think about his ceiling for this upcoming season? Where do you have him on your list there, Austin?
Yeah, Malik McClain's kind of a guy where I see him as – you know, I don't want to say I'd see him having a bad year, but he's a guy that, like, ceiling-wise, floor-wise, is kind of higher and lower. You know, I think he could have a really good year. You know, it's kind of – I'm not sure what's going to happen with him because, you know, he's another guy kind of like Ja'Kai, where if he was right there with Micah Pittman in terms of production and everything, you see he's one probably the second or third highest receiver on the list from the composite rankings from all of us as a staff. You know, I don't think that would be a surprise if he was right up there second or third in production this year. You know, he's a guy that in spring football had a couple practices. I thought he stood out as, not only put up a couple, two or three of his best practices in the spring, I wouldn't say weren't just the best from a receiver, but some of the best from the skill position of any of the guys, running back or receiver, that we saw. Whereas the consistency every practice might not have been there all the way, but that, I mean, that's something where he's still a second-year guy. You know, it's harder for a second-year guy to say, well, I'm just going to be great now. I'm just going to turn it on and be awesome every practice, every game, every week. So that's not, it's not like he's doing something wrong when I say he's not as consistent as he could be. I think it's something where he's just still a second-year guy, growing and becoming better. I think he's a guy that's right on the right path. And, you know, if we were ranking guys for potential and future and stuff like that, I would have him a little higher.
But we're not, though. We're not, though, right? This is all about this year. It's this season, everybody. It's not NFL future. It's not the rest of their eligibility. Sorry to cut you off.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's the beauty of it, you know, because that's kind of the undertone of this season. It's like this staff need, you know, they need to have a good year this year. They need to win. So even compared to other years, our staff has done this rankings, you know, really had to do it for win now this year. Even more so with the type of year that we're going into, where it's such a crucial year.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think I had Malik 24th on my list. You had him at 30. I mean, he could very well be the second leading. I would be surprised. I'd be surprised if anybody besides Micah Pittman's the leading wide receiver. And I don't know who I'd have at second. But maybe it'd be Malik McClain, because I think I'm looking at my list. I think he's my number two wide receiver too. So we'll see how that works out. Last one here, 21. Now, listen, this seems like I'm disrespecting our guy, and I'm not by any stretch. I'm the guy that is pretty cautious and conservative when it comes to guys coming off season-ending injuries, and I realize it happened week four. I think it was week four, Louisville. Yeah. But Dennis Briggs is a guy who came in here kind of defensive end, 2020 season, COVID. He decides to opt out but then joins the team midway through the season. They move him onto the inside, whether that was out of necessity with Marvin Wilson going down. And then he kind of starts turning things on in that early part of last year as he starts seeing more action as the weeks go on, but then gets kneecapped, like quite literally, by a guy from Louisville, and then, you know, all that sort of momentum seems to come to a stop. I have him the lowest out of everybody. I have him at 35. Like what he can become, maybe like a Kier-type guy. I just don't know if that happens this year coming off an injury. You have him highest out of all of us at 15. Yeah. How much of it is what you're thinking he'll be this season, and how much of it was – refresh my memory, Austin. I don't remember seeing him do a lot during spring, so that's why I have him so low. Were there things that he did during spring that stood out to you, or is this basically you just thinking his past performance will portend to what he'll do here in the future?
That's a great question, yeah. So I think it's more of the second one, where I think he's shown enough on – before his injury last year, in my opinion, I thought he'd shown enough on the field, coupled with the fact that he's a redshirt junior, been in the program since 2018. I think that this spring – whereas, like, a guy like Malik McClain, this, you know, a first, second-year guy, the spring might be more important. I think with him, you almost not throw out what happened in the spring, but I wouldn't put as much stock into it because of what I mentioned with him being, you know, just kind of already shown to be a productive player. Yeah, so this is something we disagree on, man. You know, I've got him 20 spots higher than you. So I've got him at, number 15. I've got him the highest on the staff. And I've actually – what's funny about that is I actually was talking to a couple – friends of mine that are, you know, pretty big fans, and I showed them kind of just a couple of guys were out on the list, you know, earlier, and they said, you had Dennis Briggs at 15, I would have had him way higher. And I actually thought about that. I almost wanted to put in a new list to Gene and put him a little higher. So it's interesting that I had him the highest of anyone. I almost thought number 15 was not ranking him high enough. And I think his versatility is really key. And you know, I think, you know, with his lower body, that might be in question whether that's 80-90%, you know, 100%. Was he going to be healthy wise? But his upper body looks fantastic. He looks really great physically outside of the area where he had his injury. So I think it's kind of just been on him being 100% in the fall, which I think could be likely.
Yeah, I mean, 15's fair. 15, basically, again, like if you believe in what he is and that he'll be healthy, I mean, he's probably one of your starting defensive ends. I mean, he's probably starting opposite of Jared Verse, you're thinking. Because I don't think they'll have McClendon and Verse, I don't think they'll both be manned the same spot unless it's, you know, obvious passing down. So that's fair. Again, I'm asking honestly, I don't remember seeing him go through a lot during spring. So I'm pretty sure that's why I have him so low. I mean, do you remember seeing him out there going through stuff?
Yeah, I remember him being out there some. He was limited. He definitely wasn't, you know, full. I don't, you know, I wouldn't say he wasn't full go. But
yeah,
he,
team. Yeah, when they were doing 11 on 11 stuff, I don't recall. I don't know if it's 100% sure or not. There are rules that we have to abide by, everybody. So respect the rules so we don't spill.
Oh, and hey,
tea.
Yeah, that just to, you know, one more note on this, man. You know, doing this list and all that, this is another example where I feel a lot better ranking these guys and everything because we get to watch every practice.
Right.
It's just such an advantage over other people, other medias. It's really a great thing that Norvell, you know, Coach Mike Norvell allows us to watch every practice.
God bless Gene and Ira for how many years they did this with Jimbo. And it's like, yeah, what did you guys see at practice? Well, we don't know. He doesn't let us watch practice. So it's a lot more fun this sort of way. All right, awesome, man. We appreciate you hopping on the show, man. We do appreciate your insight. And you'll have a busy weekend, I think, coming up, right? Recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
Recruiting.
Yeah,
ABC.
It's going to be a great weekend out there. You know, they're looking to have 7 or 8 official visitors. And I think we got 8 right now. Michael's got a great preview out about it right now if you want to read that. And we also had a you know, Michael, Aslan, and I were out at the camps yesterday. Another, you know, last camp of the summer. We got a lot of great stuff on the boards and stories from that as well. And, you know, I'm really happy to be on and, you know, really excited for this weekend and definitely excited to get in fall camp and watch these guys and see how these numbers and rankings might change a little.
Amen, brother. That's Austin R. Cox, staff writer for WarChant.com. Again, follow him on the Twitter machine, especially if you're a Braves fan. Austin R. Cox 12. Awesome, man. Have a great one. Thank you, bud.
Yeah, you too, Aslan. Appreciate it, man.
WarChant.com is the ultimate inside source for FSU football and recruiting. And now you can get in on the action for free for an entire month. WarChant.com is offering a risk-free 30-day trial subscription. Get full access to the number one website covering the Seminoles just by entering the promo code WARCHANT30. That's WARCHANT30. Sign up and get in on the world's most active FSU message boards. Receive breaking news, stories from our award-winning staff, plus get exclusive interviews and videos. Just enter the promo code WARCHANT30. WARCHANT.com, your ultimate Seminole sports source.